So this is a very special article from our friend Thies. And it's only in German, Peter Markley, Die Arbeit der Augen, which I believe translates to Peter Markley, The Labor of the Eyes. And it's written by Marcel Mailly from 1992. And so let's see how this Google translation goes. When the first works by Peter Markley became known a few years ago, they caused irritation among architects because the proximity to the work of colleagues clearly emphasized the distance. Markley does not come from the ETH climate of the 1970s, even though he studied there for a while. His path is self-taught, and this independence was evident in the buildings. In the houses, an unmistakable rigor is combined a discipline of means with a feeling for creative freedom that hardly anyone else has allowed themselves to this extent. Reduction, a key term for various tendencies here, takes on a different meaning for Markley because it is not an expression of Calvinist ascetism, but an attempt to counteract the truth and the pleasure of seeing under completely confused cultural conditions to defend the propaganda of the form. That is why one finds the hardest unframed concrete on the same houses with an ornament cast in it. A stylistic restriction is not a prerequisite for Markley's architecture. More generally, it can be understood as a patient examination of the possibilities of finding a contemporary expression at all for a classical legacy of European architecture. In fact, the criticism of signs of degeneration in modern architecture after the war is perhaps the only thing that connects Markley's work with that of his colleagues. But the way was different. His first works took a step backwards from modernism that had become history to the foundations of old European architecture. It was impossible for Markley to understand modern architecture without comprehending the confrontation with history behind the revolutionary break, as made possible by the exhaustive classical education of masters such as Le Corbusier or Mies. This knowledge of the rules and their freedom, that is, the actual rationality of architecture, has been completely lost in the course of the stylization of modernity. The task of architecture is neither to overcome modernity nor to return to its roots. Rather, Markley tries again to take up the confrontation with the classic rules out of an awareness of the present. For Markley, it is a dialogue about unchanged human needs and about the laws of perception. The more recent works exacerbate this conflict. These designs seek to regain a modern terrain based on elementary, almost archaic settings. The house in Trubach initially follows the simplest laws of the path and the place. Standing at right angles to the valley, it is entered from its short side through a stair tower made of concrete. So this is the three apartment building in Trubach, which is cold and which relaxes the urban space with subdued light that accompanies the movement upwards. The tower prepares the way for the interiors. From there, one enters the floor, open spaces leaning against a central wall, full of light from high rows of windows, which provide a view of both valley directions. The plan is at the same time an extremely limited modern gesture. A simple rectangle is trisected with two lines suspended in the plan. The other divisions of life in the apartment are made by bodies. The kitchen includes the entrance. The bathroom separates the two bedrooms. Therefore, there are only three doors, and each one marks a path through the central wall. As a counterpart to the division, a third body is added to the main volume, the wooden balcony, the room to the outside space. Two ideal spatial concepts meet. The old principle of dividing a squat body, similar to what happened in every old farmhouse in the Alps, and the open floor plan, which brings dimension and law into each individual room of the entire floor plan. All of these compositional gestures are dealing with rational needs in order to inscribe them in an order of seeing. The precision of this work can be seen on the building as well as on the drawing. The small deviation in the symmetrical formwork of the concrete on the front side of the stair tower speaks about the balcony extension on the opposite side, an answer to the eye's sense of balance, which we also find in the sketches. These sketches, countless of which precede the design, always revolve around the same themes: the house on the hill and its relationship to the topography and to the trees, for example, or the relationship between a tower and a shed-like extension. The apparent naivety of these drawings is work that also reflects the examination of education. The loss of a common, secure cultural knowledge forces Markley to return to elementary questions time and again. What is the difference between dividing and adding? What answer does the eye need for a form? How does a building fit into the earth? Because everything that should be prerequisites has to be worked out again, so the drawings reduce the basic facts to diagrams, just like the sketches of the situations, the water, the hills, the trees, are the sun two or three thick lines like the release of Josephson above the columns. There too, the thick pillar with the sculpture above it seeks a secret symmetry with the extension on the other side of the house. The location, size, and rhythm of the parts are checkered and varied until a scope begins to open up to a new whole. Josephson's sculptures, which are included in almost every Markley house, seem like a key to his work. It is not just the indissoluble explanatory relationship that space and relief have to one another, because they were thought of together from the start. That establishes a different relationship between art and building. In a film, Josephson, Markley's actual teacher, says that for him the difficulty of sculpture is that of making the richness of the world visible through form alone. In this way, Markley's architectural elementarism is a preoccupation with the means of architecture. Only when the prerequisites for perception are clear again is that freedom of design possible that allows us to view the world with the means of architectural expression. This freedom is inevitably the counterpart of rigorous discipline. Only what the eye works out ultimately penetrates behind the retina.